Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It's May the 27th, 2015. I'm coming to you live from New Beginnings Church in Good Hope, West Virginia. Thanks for being a part of our program. We're several hours behind here today. We had some things come up that prevented us from keeping our 10 a.m. time slot. Lord willing, we'll be back on that time slot next week. I'm also out of our studios today, so if you hear a little bit of an echo, I do apologize for that. Hopefully it's not too unbearable. But welcome inside of this program, The Word. We're going to begin to take a look at the life of Abraham and how God called him out of everything that he knew, really calling him into certain uncertainty. And you know, sometimes in our lives, that's exactly where God will call us to. How many of you know out there that sometimes he calls us to a place where we are uncomfortable? We are walking in a place of, like I said, certain uncertainty. And it's a matter of walking by faith and not by sight. And so today we're going to begin to look at the life of Abraham in this series that will continue over the next several weeks as we learn how to understand the importance of obedience in our own lives. Because the reality of it is, here's what we need to understand, is that God keeps his promises. The Bible says that his promises are yea and amen. And knowing that God keeps his promises, if he calls us to something, it's important to understand that he will bring us through that something. I tell people all the time that God is in our next. Whatever that next thing is, God is already there. And so we must remain obedient to God even when the future isn't clear. Let's open this program of the Word in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the gift that you've given us, the precious gift of today, the precious present. Father, let us use it for your glory. Forgive us for all of our shortcomings and failures. Lord, as I have prayed many times, and I'm sure those out there listening have prayed as well, that we live in a time where there are so many things that pull on us, so many distractions. And we pray that you would help us get through those things, that Father, you would forgive us when we fall short, that you would help us through every challenge, every trial and test. God, we want to give you the glory again for today. Lord, I pray that every listener out there, whether listening live or archived, would tap into you today, open up their hearts to you today, and would hear what you have to say to them today. God, we give you glory. We thank you for all things. In the precious name of your Son, the only name under heaven by which men can be saved, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as I was saying, we started praying. God keeps his promises, and he's calling us to remain obedient to him even when the future is not clear. Because your God can be used. And what we're going to talk about today is that sometimes you're helping those even met or never. If you have your Bibles, grab a hold of it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the Canaan. So they came to the Canaan. Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree. The Canaanites were then in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched a tent with Bethel on the east, or excuse me, on the west, at Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on forward. If you out there listening, you have children, you understand sometimes what being a trip, even a small trip, is. I have three children, two of them now in their teenage years, and then my daughter Faith, who's still young at the age of 7. And especially for my youngest daughter, she is so inquisitive. She wants to know every detail. She wants to know exactly where we're going, how we're getting there. She wants to be able to every single detail. Now, for a moment, I want you to try in Abraham's shoes. Abraham was living his life doing this, and God says to him, out of your country, leave your family, get away from your father's house, and go somewhere that I will show you. And the only promise he had is he was going to bless through this obedience. But he didn't have any details as it pertained to where he was going or how he was going to get there. Well, I guess he knew how he was going to get there, didn't he? But the reality of it is he didn't know where he was going. Can you imagine taking a trip where you had no idea where you were going to go? That's challenging, isn't it? And so I think of my daughter Faith, because she'll say, where are we going? Are we there yet? Whenever we travel south, and again, I'm in here in north central West Virginia. Whenever we travel south, she'll say, are we out of West Virginia yet? Are we out of Virginia? Are we out of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida? Where are we? She always wants to know. Well, at the time, he didn't have any children. And he would have had had he had children traveling with him, he had a very difficult time trying to answer that question of, where are we going? And the reality is, he could not answer that question because he did not. He was the child. You could imagine this. And God was the one driving. And so Abraham had no idea where he was going. He was that child in the back seat wondering where he was going. He was along. So God had called Abraham. He said, leave your native country, leave your relatives, family, and go to the land that I'm, because I'm going to make you a great nation. Listen to this. He said, I will bless you and make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. Remember how I said here a few minutes ago about how walking in obedience, we're a blessing to others that we haven't met or may never meet. He said, I will bless you. I will make you famous. I'm going to use you to bless others. He said, and I will bless those who bless you. So people who bless you are going to be blessed just by blessing you. But he also said, those who curse you, I will curse. And then he said, all the families on earth are blessed. Now, we've heard a lot of sermons about this. This is not a topic that is new to anyone. But I love this. How many sermons have you heard about being blessed so that you can bless? In reality, as a Christian, it really should sum up our life. That should sum up who we are. Is that we understand the blessings we have are because God has blessed us. And he's blessed us to bless others. So your life has purpose today, tremendous value. You're not called to just be average. You're called to be blessing. And some of you may be listening right now and you may be saying, but I don't know how I can bless anyone. I've got too many problems on my own. I've got too many things that I'm going through. I've got too much stuff. You may need to leave where you are. And I'm not talking about physical surroundings. I think sometimes that's probably true, but maybe it's a mentality. You know, one of the things I notice in the area in which I live is that we have so many people that have the mindset that we are an underdog, that before we ever get started, we are at a disadvantage, when in reality, that is just not the case. We've all been given these special blessings. We've all been given these special gifts. We've all been given these talents by God, from God, so that they can be used for His glory. We are not underdogs. We are not at a disadvantage. The Bible says that if God be for you, who can be against you? So we are not called to have this mentality that we somehow are at a disadvantage. We are not at a disadvantage. If you are a sold out, blood bought, redeemed of the Lamb of God believer, you are not at a disadvantage. You're on the winning team. We are not underdogs. But being blessed to be a blessing is really, it really sums up what we should be or how we should live our life. And now think about this. Abraham had to be taken out of his comfort zone. And he had no reassurances other than a promise from God. But he had to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. He had to be in certain uncertainty. Now, we know, according to God's word, that Abraham would be protected by God and that he would have worldwide influence. I remember that in my own life, for those of you who listen to this who know me, you've heard this before. But there's a lot of people going to listen to this that do not know me, and they've never heard this before. I was young. I was 18 years old. My grandfather was a pastor for, I believe, 55 years. And he served the Lord. He loved the Lord. He founded a church. And, of course, that made my mom a preacher's kid, raised in church, which naturally trickled down to us, to me and my two other siblings. And I never had a desire to ever preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, I was opposed to the idea. But I was 18 years old, and I woke up one morning. It was after I had graduated, and I was on my way to go camping with a couple friends. And the morning I woke up, I heard something, I felt something, I sensed something that I had never experienced in my entire life, and it was that I would preach the gospel, that God had called me to preach. I got that calling. Now, for those of you that have been listening to the Word over the last several weeks, remember we talked about the calling of God 2 weeks ago, and it's archived right here on blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow. I encourage you to listen to that, but a calling of God does not mean that some supernatural presence falls upon you and you automatically just do what He's called you to do. Rather, the calling of God is an invitation. And so on that particular morning when I was 18 years old, I was getting an invitation. Now, you're talking about a guy that had no desire to speak in front of people. You're talking about a guy that in high school hated the idea of giving a presentation before the class. And you're talking about a guy who was completely uninterested in this idea. But something changed on that day. Much like Abraham and much like many of you and others around the world, I got called. I got a calling. I got an invitation to take part in what God had for my life. Now, I must say that it did not happen immediately. I did not pursue it immediately. The invitation was there, but I didn't go to the party, so to speak. I did my own thing. But throughout the course of my life in the upcoming years, and it really within the next 2 years, circumstances started leading me closer and closer to God. And by the time I was 21 years old, I had preached my first sermon. And now I'm Fast forward a couple years, I have a full-time job that I'm pleased with, that I love, and I'm sitting in a boardroom, and I heard another calling. I got another invitation, and that invitation was to resign my position and to go full-time ministry, and so I walked that road. And again, I didn't do it immediately. I wrestled with it. The invitation was there, and I wrestled with it, and so I did eventually step down and go full-time ministry, and I went from having a salary and with a young family, was from having a salary to nothing. I had nothing. I had no income. And I ended up helping at a local Christian radio station for just a little bit of money, but he offered me to sell ads. And so I was selling ads, and I was making a little bit of money every month. Not much, a little bit. As we transitioned into 2004, I got offered a pastoral position because a local church, their pastor had left, and they'd asked me to start speaking, and they wanted me. And so I was, the night before I was to take that position, I had a dream. And in that dream, I heard the voice of the Lord tell me, listen, it's not time. Don't go. And so I didn't go. Right after that, I was offered a very large amount of money, especially at that time. It would still be a very good salary today to work in a secular radio station, but I would have to sell some ads and do some things that I did not believe reflected a Christian life. And so I turned that down. And then other things kept coming up, trying to get me to bite, so to speak. And I thank God for his wisdom and his knowledge and for him interrupting my life and speaking to me and speaking into my dreams and just even when I wouldn't listen, because it was difficult. That time was difficult, and I was walking by faith because the only thing I could see were that my decisions that I believed God had impressed upon me, everything was falling around me. That's all I seen, and I kept walking. And I'm not going to bore you with my entire story, but within a short period of time, the Lord spoke to me about a building, and I didn't have the money to buy this building, but yet he told me to buy it. And then we ended up, God made a way, and we bought it, and we opened a church. And then my wife and I, in the year of leaving 2005 into 2006, we stood in front of the pulpit of that church, and we held hands, and the Lord spoke to us, and he said, what I have done in the past year, I will double in the upcoming year. And he did, and we ended up merging with another church, and that's how New Beginnings Church was birthed, and I've been here 9 years next month, the end of June. I will have been here 9 years. And it all started on a morning on my way to go camping where I heard his voice. Fast forward to 2003. In April, I stepped down from my full-time position to go full-time ministry. And it's been a difficult road. And Abraham was experiencing this same thing. And he had a promise of God that God was taking him to a land that he promised him and that he would have worldwide influence. Ladies and gentlemen, it all started for me on my way to a camping trip. And since then, I've been to India 5 times. I've seen things. God's used me in ways. And I don't say this to brag. I say this to let you know today that the invitation is before you. He's calling you. You have to look to the stars, because God has a plan for your life. I don't know where you are or what you're going through. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that if you'll put your faith in the one who holds tomorrow, all things work together for the good. Be encouraged today. Now, if we're looking back, we see that Jesus came from Abraham's line. So this promise of blessing the families of the entire world was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because he brought us salvation. During my prayer opening this program, I said there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Now, we also see this promise that God made Abraham to protect him, to keep him. And we've seen that same promise carried out throughout the Jewish race throughout centuries. Think about how Israel has fought for their survival. It seems Satan has tried to wipe them out many, many times, but it hasn't happened. And I tell you here today on the Word, it will not happen. Because God has blessed. And the reality of it is, we are chosen of God today. He's chosen us. Now, I know that you may look at your life. I know that I do this many times, and I ask the question, Lord, why in the world would you choose me? Well, I'm here to tell you today that He has a habit of choosing people that, in many ways, society wouldn't think they could amount to anything. So wherever you are today, look up. Look up. Because I serve a God that wants to use you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. When God chose Abraham, He chose a man that would ultimately influence nations, and God has called us to do the same. It's about seeing beyond what we can see. It's about having sight that goes beyond to the bigger picture. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Boy, I love that. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out, and I want you to make disciples, and I don't want you to limit yourself to what you see. I want you to go to the world. I want you to go to the nations. You're going to baptize them. You're going to dedicate them to the purposes and plans of God. He says, and you're going to teach these disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. This is the spreading forth of the gospel, and this is the part I love. He says, be sure of this. Be certain. Never forget it. I am with you always. Always is a long time. Now, if you think about Abraham, or Abram at the time, he was not a young guy. He was 75 years old, and his wife was 65. Now, in those days, of course, they lived a lot longer than they do now. But they were not spring chickens, so to speak. They were old. And God was calling them on a journey, and they didn't even know where they were going. Of course, he was a wealthy man, and he had servants. And when he left Haran, he probably went with livestock and a staff. But God said, I'm going to bless you even more than you've been blessed. And see, that's really what it is. Obedience produces blessing in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Obedience produces blessing. Now, we don't obey so we can be blessed, because God understands our heart. He knows us. He knows what our motivations are, what our motives, I should say, are. But when we obey, we're blessed. And the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. I know it feels like a sacrifice. Trust me, I've walked that road. Every step feels like a sacrifice. But it's the obedience that He's blessing. Abraham was a very wealthy man already. But he said, I'm going to bless you even beyond that. In Hebrews 11:8, the Bible tells us that it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. How profound is that? By faith, he took every step. I can't imagine packing the moving truck and then telling the driver, here's what you do. I want you to leave, but I don't know where you're going. Can you imagine that? Basically, don't ask any questions. Just get moving. But Abraham, he had stopped at this place called Shechem, and right in the middle of this inheritance, right in the middle of this promised land, the Lord appeared to him. And he said, I'm going to give this land to you and to your descendants. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. God shows up and he says, this is yours. I've been walking. I don't know where I'm going, but this is yours. We have a lot to be thankful for today. We have so much to be thankful for. Because God has blessed us. Think about the blessings on your family. Think about the blessings on your church. Think about the blessings in this country. God has blessed us. And yet he continues to bless, doesn't he? I think that's amazing. Because if we're all honest with ourselves, we don't really deserve it. So we're talking about this man, Abraham. He's called out of his own place. He's told to walk in faith, this journey that's uncertain. He's beginning to learn this power of obedience and blessing. He's obeying even in the face of unknown or uncertain circumstances. And he's been told that him obeying will bless others, even those that he doesn't even know. This is a man that was blessed because he obeyed. You see, church, we don't have time to sacrifice our walk with God for money, for popularity, or for material things. One of the first things that Abraham did was he built an altar. He built an altar. He built something permanent. God wants to do so many great things in all of our lives today. He doesn't want us left stranded. He, as a matter of fact, he promises that he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And he always provides people in our lives to help us through. But we need purpose. And we need vision. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. And purpose and vision are very powerful things. It's knowing that God has established milestones in our lives that literally decide our destiny. But it requires working hard and it requires being focused. You know, if there's anything I know, it's that life is so fast, it's happening so quickly. And the decisions we make on a daily basis begin to define who we are. If you think about Abraham, he had a choice. He did not have to obey. He could have stayed right there in Haran, and he would have stayed there, and things would have been different. I believe God would have raised someone else up, but he did not have to accept that invitation. He did not have to walk in certain uncertainty. He did not have to obey. And that's why we in our lives today need to make right decisions, good decisions, because again, our decisions will define us. Life is changing. The world is changing. And it's about making good decisions. You see, there's this pattern in the world, but we're told, Paul teaches us that we need to make sure that we do not conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, you are literally what you think you are. Your character, and the difference between character and reputation, reputation is what people think about you. Character is who you are. And if we can find a way to make those two things match, we're going to live a life of integrity, because your character is the complete sum of your thoughts. All your actions come from thought. It's like that plant in North Central West Virginia. Gardens are going in. Every plant starts with a seed, and that plant cannot exist without the seed. It springs forth from the seed. And every day, all these things around us, thoughts and ideas are planted into us. They're the seeds of this life that are falling into our minds, our thought process. It could be the things you listen to. It could be the things you watch on TV. It could be the conversations that you take part in. They're all seeds. See, Abraham could have chosen. I guarantee you there were people around him that questioned what in the world he was doing. Maybe in his mind he was questioning. But he walked in obedience. And every day we wake up, we must choose what direction we're going to go. I believe that what we decide defines us. And that's why it's good to have a firm value system. It's good to have a strong moral system. Because when you have those two elements, good decisions become easy. But you must be focused. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for Abraham as he was walking, just trying to remain focused on the task at hand, a task that he's not even really sure what it is? He's told to walk. He's told to go to a land that God is going to give him, but he's not sure what the final destination is. The truth is, everyone listening to this program right now, you are focused on something. Something has your attention. Something has your concern. And there's so many distractions out there. And the enemy is doing whatever he can to distract us to the point of stepping out of what God has. I say this all the time, that Joshua was instructed of God to walk forward, to do what he had called him to do without looking to the left or to the right. Because if you become attracted to something else, something other than God's plan or God's purpose, if you become distracted, that means that something else has attracted you. Something else has got your attention or your concern. You become very vulnerable in that place. And that's why we cannot allow distractions to keep us from our goal. How you face every single day, the choices you make define you. You've got to develop a God-given mindset of steadfastness, that no matter what the circumstances are around you, you are marching on for God. Life, as I mentioned, is happening so quickly. What you think, that's who you are. When the pressure comes, this is something I know all about. When I walked away from my job and there was no income, there was a ton of pressure. And how you look at this, how you focus on this, your focus, your mental toughness, your ability to be steadfast during that time is crucial. Because when the pressure is on, we make decisions. When Moses was standing at the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh is coming from behind and there's no way to go forward and there's no way to go back, can you imagine the pressure Moses was under as all the people began to scream out and to cry out, "Moses, why did you bring us here? Were there not enough graves in Egypt? Why did you bring us here, Moses? We should have stayed." That's pressure. He's leading these people, again, walking by faith and not by sight. And sometimes when the pressure is on, we make decisions we should not make. Now, thank God, Moses consulted God, and God said, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Many of you, and I think this is a bit of wisdom, I've had others pass it on to me, that if you have a big decision to make in your life, if God's not speaking, don't move. Stand still. Don't move. Because a lot of times when the pressure is on, we think of things like, I can't do this. Lord, I'm at the end of my road. I can't take another step. This is too hard. This is too difficult. But in reality, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and regardless of the circumstance, God makes things happen. You've got to be resilient, not only in your thoughts, but in your actions. You've got to be able to face all these difficult circumstances and the challenges and then handle them with calm and with poise, because you know that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. It's being able to look at failure and understand, I must bounce back, even though it did not go my way, even though this is not as I had planned. It's about remaining emotionally stable, because you know that God's got you. It's being able to resist all those distracting thoughts that we talked about. It's staying strong in that midst of certain uncertainty. As I said earlier, it's being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's about knowing that God is in control. Remain consistent, remain obedient, concentrate on him, put forth the effort, the things that he's called you to do. Have this enduring optimism, knowing that God, if he be for you, who can be against you? Don't make mountains out of molehills or major in minor things. Stay calm. Be poised and trust your God. Paul said, in all things, give thanks. What that means is no matter the condition, no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial or the test, face it without complaint and give glory to God. Because a lot of people falter and fail when they allow the little things to distract them. You must overcome those little things that are distracting so many other people. Because again, and I said this earlier, God has not called you to mediocrity. God has not called you to remain average. God has called you to bigger and better things. And you cannot allow the past mistakes, the past failures to linger in your thought process. Have a selective memory that says, I will choose to listen to the voice of truth. Some of you out there listening, you know what it's like to have past decisions and past failures literally just kind of blow up in your face. But none of us can move forward while still looking backwards. I'm telling you today that God has called you to make a difference. Don't allow the past decisions, the past failures, or the past mistakes to define you. Refuse to listen to that lie. Many of us have an invitation to something that's far greater than we are, yet we have a choice to make. Because the invitation, as I said 2 weeks ago on the Word program, that invitation is before us. We live in a wonderful country that yes, has many faults and failures, but we've been blessed. For all the pastors, all the Bible preachers and teachers out there, I want to tell you that don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God is using you for his glory. Press on. Press on in the face of difficulty. Press on in the face of rejection. Press on when things don't necessarily go the way that you had planned or hoped or expected. Press on, because God wants to use you to change the world. You keep your head held up. You keep your eyes looking towards the sky. Because of the God-given talents and gifts that you possess, God is calling you to persevere, to make this world a better place. And I'm here to tell you today, just like Abraham, you can do it. You can do it. And with that, I'd like to pray with you. Father, there are so many of us that we face so many things on a daily basis. We have so many challenges, Lord. Some are external, some are internal. There are things that we seemingly haven't been able to get over, things that we haven't been able to get past. And Lord, if there's one thing I know, it's that all of our stories, none of them are the same. They're different. They have different challenges. They have a different set of circumstances. But Father, the one thing that is constant through all of our diverse situations is that you are God alone. As that song says, before time began, you were on your throne. You know us. You've called us. You've kept us. You've preserved us. Here we are today, listening to your words. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, not knowing what his next was, thing that you were in his next. Lord, I pray for every person today, God, myself included, that we would put more faith and trust in you, God, that we understand that you are in our next, whatever that is. For some of us, Lord, you're calling us to cut away from things. You're calling us to walk away from circumstances or maybe even relationships so that we can walk in the fullness of your will. Help us to do that today, God. Above all, if there's anyone out there listening and they don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray right now that they'll take a moment and repent of their sins, acknowledge their sin, Lord, as we all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. And invite Jesus Christ into their hearts. Not only to be their Savior, but their Lord and Master. Lord, for those of us that are the body of believers, help us realize that it goes beyond salvation. You've called us to follow your ways. Help us. As sometimes, Lord, it is a difficult challenge. Help us to be obedient to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for taking part in listening to the Word program today. It's part one of a series that we will go through over the next several weeks. Be sure to check out all of our other programs. We have several other Word programs on Blog Talk Radio. Our What's Important Now radio program. That's the majority of our programs here archived. Encourage you to check them out. We have a program coming up tomorrow night live from 7 to 9 p.m. We have a special guest with us, Troy Ware, a highly educated Messianic Jew who is going to, we're going to talk about Israel. He's going to give us his insight into Israel and the things that Israel is facing today, including the peace deal with Iran, Israel's role in the last days, things such as this. I encourage you to tune in for that. And every Thursday from 7 to 9 as we go live with What's Important Now. This program typically airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. We were not able to do that this morning. That's why we're bringing it to you in the middle of the afternoon, at least on the East Coast. But we do encourage you, we're going to get back to our regular time next week at 10 a.m. If you like our programming, make sure you follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. That way you're updated when we schedule programming. So when we create them in our program here, you'll immediately be notified. Also, you can find us on Facebook if you look for Win Radio Program, and you can also find us on Twitter at T Sears Win Radio. If you'd like to learn more information about our church, you can do so by visiting us online at newbeginningswv.com. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. And you can contact me by email at whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. And I do love hearing from you and try to respond to all of those personally. Make sure you, again, tune in tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. for What's Important Now. And also going to try to get back on track with The Independent, which is our new program out. It's political talk. And, boy, I'll tell you, just watching the news and listening over the last 24 hours, there is a lot to talk about. But, again, you need to follow us so you can be updated on the upcoming programs and guests and all those things that we're going to be having. So, again, thanks for being a part of our program here today on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 27th, 2015. We pray God's blessings on all of you and encourage you to tune back in for part two of Look to the Stars, examining the life of Abraham next Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Have a wonderful and a blessed day. Until tomorrow evening, I'm Tom Sears, and this has been The Word. God bless.